Here in the last couple years, every time I see an underdog, or anyone for that matter, pour out their lives with passion, faith, and zeal for justice, hope, and right things, into my mind comes the word hero. Sometimes, just watching someone's over-the-top valiant effort against overwhelming odds moves me so much, my heart filling with water, and it just runs out my eyes. I feel myself just bubbling up and running over, pointing and saying loudly, "Look, isn't that incredible?" I just can't help myself. In my heart of hearts, it is God moving, stirring me to see His heroes. In the days we live, there seems to be a line being drawn between those who pour out their lives for things amounting to nothing and those who grit their teeth and wade forward into bullets, smoke, a hail of controversy, opposition, and a seemingly constant opposing tide, all for the right reasons and right motivations, spot in the middle of a siege of blood and fire. Oh my, oh my. Even as I'm writing and imagining, I feel the water rising in my heart and my eyes are beginning to leak again. I mean, it's just so righteous. Even saying, "It's just so righteous," isn't enough, but those are the best words I've got to speak of the phenomena of heroes. Religions and faith systems without Christ aren't just wrong, they are so wrong. And relationships which trust and believe in the Son of God aren't just right, they are so right. To me, Paul of Tarsus was a hero. In the face of overwhelming odds against him, he had faith in God. He trusted God right to the end, regardless of the religious multitudes who wanted to shut him up. Paul, according to the opinion of many around him, had a knack of telling the truth long, loud, and often. There were religious leaders who considered that a fault. He believed God at his own personal peril. He did what he did, not for money, recognition, power, or glory, but for love. Most of the time, heroes are scared like anyone else. After all, they are human just like any of us. It's not like they are suddenly without fear or concern, but they act as they do because there are things more important than being afraid. Somewhere in them there rises up a moral obligation, something which inspires action regardless of any sort of fear or not. A lot of times heroes talk about being scared, but in the moment they found seemingly superhuman strength or the will which allowed them to act or help them do what they had to do. A hero can be anyone, like a teacher, a coach, a youth group leader, or even the old guy down the street. They influence our lives, making a huge difference, even though at the time we may resent them. They persist and persist and persist, much of the time going unappreciated during our lifetime until we're older and remember those extraordinary people in our lives. Maybe we'll sit back and remember that without that teacher who taught us to read, write, or count, we would never have been able to get a job, go on to college, or comprehend what we read. But above all, they taught us to think and they were powerful in our lives. I'm Social Porter, and this is Outposts, cool jazz and contemplative conversation, brought to you semi-live from a rural cafe at the end of the road. It's beautiful for its situation, a simple gateway to greater things to those who are interested enough to engage. What is the greater idea of a hero, a warrior poet whose life reflects right character and teaches us the value of good boundaries? What is the Lord talking about when the phrase is used, mighty men of valor, and can anyone be that person? Come, go with me. Sit back in your big armchair, put your feet up and your ears on, and I'll be right back. Good is something you do, not something you talk about. Some medals are pinned to your soul, not to your jacket. Gino Bartali. What is a hero? One definition is a person of great bravery who carries out extraordinary deeds. And I think that's pretty good. Yet it does raise some further questions, like, what is your idea of bravery? And what sort of deed do you think is extraordinary? What may be brave to one person could be seen by someone else as not being smart enough to know when to run away. To some people, just stepping out the door is brave. We can be brave, an adjective describing how we are, but we have courage, which is a noun, a word describing a person, place, or thing. Can we be brave without having courage? I think no. It would seem somewhere in us is having courage and being courageous before there exists the bravery to carry out extraordinary deeds. Rick Slater wrote on the Voice of Fear website, "When soldiers go to war, they don't necessarily fight because they hate what is in front of them. They fight because they love what is behind them." I like that. We need courage to face our fears and deal with what paralyzes us, forced to a place of stagnation. Being brave is the action of having courage. Courage makes the fireman confront his possible mortality when faced with running into a burning house. Courage and bravery compel him to action regardless of the possibility of not going home tonight. Heroes and champions face all of that, and maybe that's part of what makes them heroes and champions. It's not that they don't have fear, but they have the courage to face their fears and are brave to do something about it. Being a hero is not necessarily something most people will see or give anyone a trophy for. Could we agree God's heroes are ones who act as the Holy Spirit directs and then gets lost in the momentum of a righteous moment? I know an older fellow who lived in a rural community. One night he got a call from a young man who had just broken up with his long-standing girlfriend and had gone on a drinking binge. When the older fellow picked up the phone a little after 2 a.m., the voice on the other end said, "Okay, I'm done with everything. I'm standing in my living room with a loaded 38 in my hand, and you've got 10 minutes to tell me why I shouldn't blow my brains out." In moments like that, all your scripture memorizing, all your church going, all the suit wearing and pew sitting isn't going to help. I mean, like, right now, you need to have some Jesus on tap, and by no means is quoting someone a Bible verse going to be the answer they're looking for. That young fellow on the other end of the phone had heard preaching and Bible quoting all his life and could probably quote the Bible with the best of us. In a flash, the man thought going to the young man's house was the best idea. So he asked if he could come over. Fortunately, they only lived minutes apart. It never crossed his mind to fear for his life doing such a thing. When he got to the young man's house, all was very quiet, very dark, and the front door was open. He knocked. The young guy said, "Come in," somewhere from the darkness inside. As the older fellow stepped into the pitch dark room a few steps, he heard the Lord distinctly say, "Stop." As he stood stone still, his eyes began to focus. There, about an inch from his face, was the barrel of a gun. It was so close. Had there been enough light, he could have been able to see the bullet in the bottom of the barrel. Instead of being gripped with fear, something came over him. A clear confidence and a steady heart. Amazing courage came over him as he focused his eyes down the sights on the barrel to faintly see the aiming eyes of the young man. In the full grip of the Holy Spirit, cool and calm, he began to talk to the young fellow, encouraging him to think about where all his actions would go if he played all this out, about how all life as he had known it would drastically change for him, his entire family, and the community, that in an instant life would change forever in a bad way, all because he broke up with his girlfriend. In a few minutes, the young man lowered the gun, put it on the table with the safety on, turned on a lamp in the corner, and sat down to talk. The older fellow told me later in the moment it didn't even cross his mind he might die. Not until a couple hours later when he got home did the inrush of the situation dawn on him as he collapsed in a chair, sweating and trembling. That man is a hero. Nobody except myself and a couple other people know this story until now. But the older fellow is a hero, gripped by God to do a work in the moment of great need to save lives and change the course of a young man's life towards Christ. Since then, the young man has given his life to Jesus and is a radically different person. Since then, the older fellow has gone on to be with the Lord. I say, a hero has gone home, but raised up a hero in the meantime. In Jeremiah 20, verse 11, the Lord is spoken of as a dread champion or a warrior. But to say warrior is really too thin. The implication of the Hebrew words suggests someone infinitely larger than just warrior. But the Lord is with me as a dread champion. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. I think that's really interesting. I believe every man at some point in his life has dreams of being a dread champion on some level. Dread, meaning terrible, mighty, strong, and violent, and at the presence of the champion, his foes tremble and dread the battle to follow. It also bears saying that being a hero doesn't mean not being afraid. Quite the contrary, actually. Most real-life heroes and champions don't possess an absence of fear, but act from the idea that there are things more important than being afraid, as was said before. The Old Testament has many references to heroes and champions whose life and actions point to someone greater than themselves. Underneath the fabric of very real people who rose above a self-serving life in a way that was greater than themselves, looking closely, I believe we can see the Lord as the universal resource empowering them and all of mankind to give of themselves. The Lord is our example and is constantly giving of Himself, pouring His energies into this world of time, suffering, and ultimately death. Now, dismal as that may seem, those three, time, suffering, and death, are the earmarks of a world under the influence of sin brought to us by one man's very, very bad choice. When we see the need of others and exceed our normal inclination of total self-preservation at the expense of someone else, our actions become sort of like a poetic expression of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who was crucified for our wrongness of character, redeemed us from sin, and rose from the dead, empowering those who believe to also lead lives as heroes and champions for the cause of the kingdom of heaven. I met a very old lady who we just called Grandma Opal. She was a real life hero in my book. No, she didn't face down machine guns and run through a hail of bombs and bullets to save the day. She didn't climb mountains that have never been climbed. She didn't face down lions and never received any medals for valor or was ever recognized by anyone important. Instead, in her lifetime of 94 years, she gave of herself beyond the beyond by taking in 92 foster children. Not 9, not 15, but 92. She didn't just talk about it. She actually lived a poetic expression of sacrifice for those children who had nowhere else to go. She lived it day in and day out, powered by righteous love. Grandma Opal wasn't just on the ball field. She moved the ball. Every day, all the time. To me, that's a hero. Or how about the mom who was in a terrible accident, lost the use of her legs and her memory of most things? She returned to her family and lived her life with reckless abandon on behalf of her son and husband, day after day with a relentless pursuit of knowing God and living life again. She relearned speech, how to take care of herself, and doggedly retrained her hands to embrace life. Even though she was confined to a wheelchair, she figured ways around the obstacles in the house. Her life burned with determination to not give up in the face of overwhelming odds. To me, that is a hero and a champion. And yet, here we are putting medals on people whose character is so thin. We celebrate them and call them heroes. Just because someone can be a fast runner, faster than anyone else, doesn't make them a hero, especially when the rest of their life is a shambles of instability, arrogance, and criminal behavior. In God's book, by example, I don't think winning a race is all there is to being a hero or a champion. The Bible is our reference of standards concerning principles, ethics, and morals. It's the bottom line on how we are to conduct ourselves, raise our families, structure our benefits and businesses, and run our government. For many programs now, I've been speaking about how we conduct ourselves because, at the end of the day, I'd like each of us to be able to close our eyes at night and know we have conducted ourselves well. The reason for constantly speaking to us as individuals is because each of us make up the whole, and it does no good to complain about the actions of the whole when the whole is comprised of individuals, like letters, which make the words, which build the sentences, compiled into coherent paragraphs, altogether telling a story. Too many of us have simply concluded that regardless of all our lifelong efforts, we will never be heroic in any fashion. So we decide we will hold a high standard of mundane. True, some folks have so much drama in their lives, they would love a long spell of mundane. But I don't think God has called us to be mediocre. It seems we have trained our feelings and thoughts to neatly fit inside a lie that says,
"You'll never be any more than plain, so just resign yourself to that."
If you, yes you, are so mundane, then why does God rejoice over you, yes you? Does he say anywhere,
"I just love all the mundane children who generally go mundane places and think semi-comatose thoughts. Aren't my dull people excellent?"
No. Never, not ever. Jesus, King of the universe, God Almighty, says you are a champion. And what is his idea of a champion? Well, let me tell you about that. In his word for champion, there is the very idea of becoming an overcomer, more than a conqueror. The very last Hebrew letter in the word for champion portrays an elevated righteous person standing with arms raised in praise and victory. It is a word which includes the process of using our eyes, mind, hands, and arms diligently involved in the Lord's process of clarification. Clarification, we might question. How so? We need clarification of our thoughts and understandings, more insight and foresight. We need the Lord to clarify us, for truly, we lead lives of such vague thought and insight, and often uncertain understanding. I believe this is largely what Paul was speaking of in 1 Corinthians 13:12 when he writes, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part." But in drawing close to our hero and Savior, we can say, "Then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." Remember that verse that's repeated in Matthew, Mark, and Luke about loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, and strength? Right there is the foundational starting point of being a champion. And as to the word hero, what is God's idea of being a hero? The word hero doesn't exactly occur in Scripture. But what is revealed are words and people whose lives defined our idea of a real hero. The phrase, "mighty men of valor," is the Hebrew idea of a hero. The phrase, "mighty men of valor," is someone who is willing to bleed for a cause, and let it be known, mankind rarely, if ever, bleeds for a cause they do not believe in. No man willingly dies for a lie. Thus, a heart of valor is a true heart, a hero's heart, a heart of faith and faithfulness, those who are redeemed. Paul called them the new man or new self in Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 4. The new man will, of course, discover that, although at times sin may overcome him, the Lord's mercy will triumph and abound over them, and that God is indeed mighty to save. To be a hero in God's eyes speaks of being mighty, tempered with wisdom, to rise and be restored with the idea of being strong. The word for hero and the phrase "mighty men of valor" is closely alluded to in Isaiah 51:11. "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." The world we live in is a battleground, not a playground, and God does not leave us defenseless. In the power of the Holy Spirit, the heroes of God have something in common, and that is the word "prevail." They prevail through persistence and tenacity. When we prevail, we prove God is more powerful than any opposing force, and through Christ we have a bond to goodness that is everlasting. You are heroes, all of you, beautiful and shining like beautiful stars. You have wisdom, good counsel, understanding, and gleaming like gold in the sun is justice and righteousness which accompanies His might. And that is really good stuff, y'all. Now, I'm not going to go down the longest list you ever heard concerning examples of heroes. The list would probably go around the earth several times. But what I do want to convey is that you, yes, you, are a hero and a champion if you are in Christ. And yes, I do stipulate the "if you are in Christ" part simply because being a hero is about more than just an action. In God's book, it starts with the heart. After all, terrible people can do really good stuff, but doing a really good thing, a hero does not make. It is when our heart, mind, and soul surrender all in the moment, and abandoning ourselves, we throw ourselves into accomplishing the task in front of us. At that, let it be known, God never asks us to do anything which we can do on our own. He only uses broken things. So not only do we do what we cannot do, but we are in Christ, who we never could be without Him. God is the true preliminary model of a hero and a champion from which other forms of heroes and champions are developed and copied. This is the foundation for 1 John 4:19. We love because He first loved us. You, yes, you, believer in Christ Jesus, you are a hero and a champion. Don't misunderstand, your circumstances don't represent your standing with God. You don't just survive, you prosper. You are not just any person, you are that person, specific and named by God Himself. You are not one to conform to the world, but one who stands with your arms raised, with hands full of stories of overcoming. Your roots run deep. In fact, all the way to heaven, firstborn blood relative to the Son of God. You're not a conformer, you are a transformer. And when the fire is at your feet, remember how God promised that when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor will the smell of smoke cling to you. And when you think you're just done, that you've really bought the farm this time and the vultures are circling, calling doom over you, telling you you've run as far as you can. Get to your feet and stand up. Friends, you are no mistake or accident. When the enemy thinks they finally got you pinned down, reduced to a scrap of crumpled waste paper, you'll find your Holy Ghost second wind to rise up in the face of insurmountable odds, because that's what heroes and champions do. And man, that's you. Yes, you. Victory is in your veins with every pump of your heart. We are the people who stay conscious and present in the room when chaos swirls and contrary winds blow. There are violent fires burning in our society. Drug wars, AIDS, child abuse, murders, corporate stealing, homeless people, and oh, so much more. Just like God is on the move, so darkness is marching too. But as in Judges 6 through 8, during the Midian oppression, God called a mighty man of valor to be a deliverer. Judges 6 tells of his call and his commission. The name Gideon means to cut down. He was called to cut down the oppression caused by the Midianites. Isn't this what Jesus came to do? According to Acts 10:38, He came healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Don't we have a similar call of God upon us also? God has not called us and made us heroes and champions for nothing. Friends, we are not conformers. We are called to be transformers because that is what heroes and champions do. Think about it. Do you get it now? All God's people are heroes. All God's people are champions. If you are an overcomer, you are a hero. Gideon was scared to pieces, but he went on to overcome his overwhelming fears, becoming the hero of Israel, God's choice to champion the cause of Israel. Do we think Noah was considered a hero because he built a really big boat? No. He was a hero because he believed God when the Lord said that it was going to rain, even though there had been no rain from the sky in a really, really long time. He went against the grain of all the people who ridiculed him, and he persisted and persisted and persisted. Do you realize how long he persisted in building that boat? It took a long time to harvest the trees, hand saw all those beams and planks, and then to join them together in a way so as to make the giant vessel float. All on a word from the Lord, all in the face of incredible opposition from his community. John the Baptist had the nerve, the absolute nerve, to speak out against the king, even to his own beheading. He went to prison standing on the word of the Lord and then gave his life for something he believed to be the truth. And do we think sending a postcard to a grieving friend and simply encouraging people when they are down is any less of a heroic thing? Do we think eating lunch with known felons to speak of Jesus and his plan of redemption is any less heroic? We most certainly are more than conquerors and overcomers as we stand, all by the blood of Jesus. I'm Social Porter, and this has been Outposts. Cool jazz and contemplative conversation, all done with the hopes of stirring our hearts to think beyond what we are told and see what God has to say above all things, not what a book has to say about the book. God is going to ask us what we did with his word, not what someone else said about what he said. The buck stops with God, not men. This evening's production has been brought to you by Living in His Name Ministries, Jim at His Heart Missions, taking the gospel to all the world, the Mevin Freedom League with Alan, Kevin, and Tommy, Taco Time in Gainesville, Georgia, Sisters Coffee Company in Sisters, Oregon, Paul and Brent down at White Knuckle Studios, and of course our beloved friends at Trinity Bakers, where there's always something good in the oven. Music was by Mark Egan, Esbjorn Svensson Trio, the Gary Burton Quartet, Guthrie Govan, the Florian Hoffner Group, Herb Ellis, Dennis Chambers, Phil Kagi, and Don Ross. All music use is licensed through BMI. Friends, you are heroes and champions, regardless of the overwhelming odds. Jesus has overcome the world, and because he has, so can you. Get to your feet, church. It's time to walk on water. Pray for your neighbor this week and take time to be kind when you can. The recipients of your kindness will never forget. Amen and amen.